In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. In giving this instruction, St. Paul says, "I do not praise the fact that your meetings are doing more harm than good." That's an awful thing. That the meetings of the Corinthian people are doing more harm than good. Let's see what he means. First of all, I hear that when you meet as a church, there are divisions among you, and to a degree I believe it. There have to be factions among you in order that those who are approved among you may become known. When you meet in one place, then it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own supper, and one goes hungry and another one gets drunk. In other words, this is supposed to be the Eucharist, and they're having an agape meal, and one goes hungry and another one's drunk. That's why he says, "I do not praise the fact of your meetings. They do more harm than good. Do you not have houses in which you can eat and drink?" And that's what he says. "Eat and drink in your house and come and celebrate the liturgy, only the liturgy. Or do you show contempt for the church of God and make those who have nothing feel ashamed?" In other words, the ones who were eating the agape meal had plenty to eat, while there were people that had very little to eat. Paul says, eat at home. Eat at home. You shouldn't be eating like this in front of people who don't have. You see, I've always been taught that you share what you have. I've always been taught that. You share what you have. "What can I say to you? Shall I praise you in this matter? I do not praise you." He's very upset. He's very upset because they are not being charitable. They're not being loving to the poorest of the poor. They are eating and being gluttons while the poorest of the poor have very little. St. Paul's answer to this is, eat at home. "For I received from the Lord what I have handed on to you." This is by revelation. He didn't get this from the church. He got this from the Lord. "That the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So St. Paul heard this exactly from the Lord. It was a revelation given to him by Jesus Christ. "In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" What does remembrance mean in Greek? To make present. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." Okay, what does proclamation mean in the Bible? "Let there be light," and there was light. The word doesn't return void. The word does what it says. Proclamation says, you are proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes. And proclamation means you're making present the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. Why would you answer for the body and blood of the Lord if the body and blood of the Lord wasn't there? And it was there. They were sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. I'm going to read from John 6. We've heard it before. We can hear it again. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So to eat the body and blood of Christ and not recognize the body and blood of Christ is to sin against the body and blood of Christ. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also those who feed on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Then many of his disciples who were listening said, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" Since Jesus knew that his disciples were murmuring about him, he said to them, "Does it shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. The words I have spoken are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." Jesus knew from the beginning the ones who would not believe and the ones who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied Jesus. That's amazing. Now, these are not Sunday Catholics. These are people that had left their families, their homes, their lands to follow Jesus. But when Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you," they said, we're going now. He's talking about being cannibal. And you know what? The early Christians were called cannibals. We eat the body and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, under the form of bread and wine. Yes, Paul said that he received this from the Lord. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim, make present, the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of Christ." It is not a symbol. If you eat it unworthily, you have to answer for the body and blood of Christ. "A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." In other words, if they don't know this is the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, they heap judgment upon themselves. "This is why many of you are ill and infirm, and a considerable number are dying. If we discerned ourselves, we would not be under judgment. But since we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that your meetings may not result in judgment. The other matters I shall set in order when I come." You see, this is very interesting. You know, they're supposed to be Christians, and some people are eating steak while the poor people had nothing to eat. Paul's answer to that is eat at home. Don't do that. That's not the way a Christian acts. You people are of the flesh. This is wrong. Eat and drink at home, then come to celebrate the Eucharist with the church. Chapter 12. "Now in regard to spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. You know how when you were pagans, you were constantly attracted and led away to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that nobody speaks in the Spirit of God ever saying, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. 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 No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different types of spiritual gifts and services, but it's the same God who has apportioned these to the people that he wants. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. In other words, the charismatic gifts are for the benefit of the Church of Jesus Christ. They are to be used to build up the Church. To one is given in the Spirit the expression of wisdom, to another the expression of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the Spirit. Not only gift of healing, but gifts of healing. That means you've been able to heal different parts of the body and of the mind. Gifts of healing. To another mighty deeds, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another varieties of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them grew individually to each member as he wishes. Okay, the Lord distributes them according to what he wishes. He wants these different gifts of the Spirit to build up the body of Christ. That's why they are given. They are not given because I take a blue ribbon to myself because I have the gifts of healing. No, they're all used for the body of Christ. As the body is one, though it has many parts, and all parts of the body, though many are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. That's right, we were baptized into the death of Jesus, into the one body, the Church, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were given to drink of the one Spirit. Oh, let the man who thirsts come to me and drink, for out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was talking about the Spirit that had not yet been given because he had not yet been glorified. Now the body is not a single part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it does not for this reason belong to the body. It does not for this reason belong to the body any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. It does not for this reason belong any less to the body. In other words, the eye belongs to the body. The foot belongs to the body. The ear belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If there was only one gift given by the Holy Spirit, where would the revelation come? But there are many gifts, and they are given to build up the body of Christ. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If there were all one part, where would the body be? Where did Paul get this whole experience of the body of Christ? In his conversion. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He was persecuting Christians. He was persecuting the body of Christ. He was persecuting Jesus in the body, in the Church. But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor again the head to the feet, I do not need you. Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary, and these parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor, and our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety. Whereas our more presentable parts do not need this, but God, as he constructed the body to give greater honor to the part that is without it, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. In other words, the body should be working together. The hands should be working with the feet, the eyes with the ears. There should be a working together, and that the spiritual gifts that God gives should be working together in the assembly. They should be working together. Why? Because they're given for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Have the same concern for one another. If one person suffers, all parts suffer it. If one is honored, all parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing. Here we have gifts again, not only healing, I have a gift of healing, but there are gifts of healing, assistance, and administration in various tongues, are all prophets, are all apostles, are all teachers, do all work mighty deeds, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, the way of love. But I shall show you a more excellent way. Now, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit are presented in verse 12, in chapter 12 and chapter 14. But they are to be exercised in chapter 13, love. If I speak in the human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. In other words, I use the gifts that God's given me in a loving way. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all ministries and mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all the faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. We use the gifts of the Spirit in love. If I give away everything I own, and hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Are you patient? Love is kind. Am I kind? Love is not jealous. Are you jealous? Love is not pompous. Am I pompous? Love is not inflated. It is not rude. Are you rude? It does not seek its own interests. Whose interests does love seek? The interests of the body of Christ. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. That's what love does. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh, use the gifts of the Spirit in love. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesize partially. But when the perfect comes, that's when Jesus comes in glory, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk like a child. I used to think like a child. I used to reason like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. At present we see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. At present I know partially, then I shall be fully known. I shall know fully as I am fully known. Do you know that today? That you are fully known by the Lord. So faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Oh, yes. Another word for love is charity. Another word for love is charity. And we need to have that love that exercises the gifts of the Spirit in love. They are not blue ribbons saying that you are a holy man. The gifts of the Spirit have nothing to do with holiness. It has to do with the upbuilding of the body of Christ. Let's continue in chapter 14. Pursue love, but strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts. In other words, pursue love, but strive eagerly for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in the tongue does not speak to human beings, but to God. For no one listens, yet his mysteries in the Spirit. Are we supposed to speak in tongues, especially in private? What happens when I speak in tongues? I build up myself in the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, one who prophesies does speak to human beings for their building up and encouragement and solace. Whoever speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but whoever prophesies builds up the church, okay? We should be praying in tongues, especially in private. Especially in private. Oh, I give the interpretation. My heart goes out to you today. Not only do I go out to you today, but my heart goes out to you today. That's the interpretation of the tongue that I just spoke. Now, I should like all of you to speak in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. One who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be built up. It's all about using the gifts of the Spirit so that the church will be built up. Not that I would be built up. He's got the gift of healing. No. The gifts of healing are given to people to build up the body of Christ. The gift of prophecy are given to people to build up the body of Christ. The gift of tongues and interpretation are given to people to build up the body of Christ. Now, brothers, if I should come to you speaking in tongues, what good would it do you if I do not speak to you some way of revelation or knowledge or prophecy or instruction? Likewise, if inanimate things that produce sounds, such as a flute or a harp, do not give out the tones distinctly, how will what is being played on the flute or the harp be recognized? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for the battle? Similarly, if you, because of speaking in tongues, do not utter intelligible speech, how will anyone know what is being said? In other words, there must be an interpretation for the speaking in tongues. And that's just like a prophetic word. For you will be talking to the air. It happens that there are many different languages in the world, and none is meaningless. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to the one who speaks it, and the one who speaks it a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you strive eagerly for the Spirit's gifts, seek to have an abundance of them for the building up of the church. Again, I want to say this again, that God gives the gifts of the Spirit for the building up of the church. It is not for my own use. It is to build up the body of Christ. And I pray that when God has given gifts to me, it is only to build up you. And if God has given gifts to you, it is only to build up me. That's what the gifts are for, to build up the body of Christ. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary Church between July 9th, that's Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, to July 15th. That's a whole week of being in school. And why do you go to school? So you learn things. How about learning things? We want to create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in power. That's what we want to do. And we will do that by the grace of the living God. Are you coming to the School of the Holy Spirit? God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.